just a word about the gifts. It's really just emphasizing what Emil has said. If you, and I believe you have been given a gift, I believe brothers and sisters both have gifts to use for the Lord. The gift is always for someone else. If we can just get hold of that. And it is for specific purposes. You may be thinking of these things. You may think of the week and you may say, you know, I really need help. How wonderful. The Spirit of God has said, I know you need help. I know you need help. You need, as we have in the verses here, the perfecting of the saints, the building up of one another. If you will remember, and I turned in my Bible to, I'm not going to turn you to it, but in Matthew 10, the Messiah was here. He was establishing or giving the word for the establishment of his kingdom. Do you know he had power? Do you know what? He was rejected. But before he went to the cross, one of the last things he did here in this book, he sent the 12 out on a mission. They were emissaries, they were representatives of his to go forth at his command. He has been rejected. He's been received back up into the glory. Do you know what he's done from there? He's given gifts to men. He's done exactly the same thing when we see in the church for the establishment, the building up, the perfecting of the assembly. He's given gifts. It's a wonderful thing. I'm speaking to the brothers that would speak publicly. I don't know what the Lord is going to use you to do. I don't know what he's fitted you to do. But he's fitted you something for something that is unique to do for his honor and glory. How many of us have ever sat in school under a teacher who couldn't teach? Probably have all had that experience. The more they talked, the deeper they got. You see, it was just a difficult problem for them because they didn't have the ability to teach. So, Christ gives teachers. How many of you have heard someone preach? Perhaps they are filling a responsibility, but it's obvious that they were not an evangelist. You can tell right away where Christ has given evangelist. Has somebody ever tried to help you with a problem? You realize he's perhaps a lovely brother or sister, but he doesn't have the ability to help in a situation. This is why the gifts are given. Pastors, teachers, evangelists, you see, this is why they're given. Come again, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. It's ongoing. For the work of the ministry, and I'll just read the last phrase and let others come in. For the edifying, I think it says, of the body of Christ. For the building up of that which is here for himself. Maybe it's just good, and Emil touched on it, to read on down to that verse. Verse 14, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect. This is not perfection as men think of perfection, that there's no flaw in me as a person. I can tell you the Lord's not done with me. I can tell you also he's not done with you. We are a work in process. Every one of us in this room. The Spirit of God is still working that Christ might be seen in our lives. Not in heaven. That's here upon the earth. That really the features of Christ will come out in your life and mine. But he says, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. And this was the verse. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. I think of a boat that is on the sea, a storm. And this wave comes and it throws it over in this direction. And another one comes and it throws it over in this direction. It has no purpose, no aim. It's just floundering. I know a lot of Christians that are that way, floundering instead of the stability that we have when the gifts have been used and I have received the ministry, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness where they lie in wait to deceive. Others can help us.
I might just add here that for us young people, this is really challenging thoughts that have been presented to us as we take and make them and apply them to me as an individual. And we've been saying all week, we're taking up a book. We're not covering everything. There's many things that we're missing out, but we're setting up a framework. And see, what you have here is you have, as we are naturally growing up into men and women and maturing from children to mature into adulthood, we have that happening spiritually here is what he's speaking about. And the challenge and thought that really comes before me, was really last night when we were in one of the devotions, is for me, I can tell you, growing up in a home in the assembly where these things are taught doesn't make them your own. You have to, for yourself, dig into these things, study them, and make them your own. Sitting here, that's wonderful. Taking it in, it's fantastic. But now we have to go and digest it and read it again. And this is where we come to the maturing that he is speaking about here. And so this, and then we find so that we're not tossed about and derailed by so many things that are facing us as we leave here and the comfort zone that we have in an environment like here and are able to stand in the day in which we are. So it is individual.
Go ahead. I just had a quick question. What is the difference between, as we see in verse 13, the unity of the faith, and as we read before in verse 3, the unity of the Spirit?
This is a slight answer in my thoughts. Unity of the faith is more of, or lack thereof, is the difference in denominations. My faith is slightly different. I believe slightly different things than some people do. But unity of the Spirit, we all have the Holy Spirit as long as we are born again Christians.